getting ready to podcast for the second time. Well, let's see, I'm getting ready to start.
I'm hoping to have a webcam up there pretty quick too.
Are you?
Onto Ustream. Video is for people who either make so much money that they can afford to be sitting at their computers at a certain time of day to watch it, or don't have lives and do it. So I think audio is always the way to go, because you can listen to it while you drive. I don't want people to be tempted to try to watch it while they're driving.
Your exercise bike.
That's right. Okay. Got a whole bunch of show notes here.
Okay, cool.
So I'll be ready.
You can...
I call it show notes. It's my iGoogle page turned to tech news.
At any moment of silence, you can always break in with a headline.
That's right. Oh, look what's happening right now. Okay. I listened to a podcast this week, just going through, and because I'm putting together that Gung Ho Man show, which is like a... Anyway.
Combination
right now. Tongue-in-cheek man stuff podcast. And so I was looking to see what else was out there, and there was one that was, the content was okay, but the format was horrible. They all used their 1970s DJ voices and sound effects. It sounded like a morning zoo show from about 1977. It was
real off.
Oh man, it was just dated itself. The guys use those radio voices where they talk through their mouth and don't use their nose at all. So they end up talking like this. We're going to be funny today. We're all going to be funny. Okay. I'm ready to go if you're ready to go. You ready?
I'm ready to go anytime you are.
All right.
You just do the countdown.
Okay. 40, 39. 39.
Welcome to the Castellini on Computers / Talking Digital / HelpMeRick.com / Adam Cochran all in one technology podcast. I like to have the world's longest title.
We should come up with a name for the podcast at least ever. I was thinking Castellini on Computers, but if you'd rather call it something else, I don't care. Whatever, we just need to come up with a name, or just the fact that we don't have a name.
I think a floating name is good, because we can just throw in all that. We can throw in both websites, we can throw in our names,
sure,
we can throw in the old radio show. Well, it's not still current radio show, but in a different form,
the ADD technology
podcast. We just put it all in there together.
Yep.
And that sounds good. And I am ADD enough that I sent a tweet announcing our second recording of our podcast, and I forgot the picture. So now, as you know, I'm very horrible at doing more than one thing at once.
That's okay. Well, I'll let you do that.
I'm attempting to tweet and open the show the same time.
Well, you go ahead and tweet. We'll talk about what the podcast is all about. For those who are joining us, we called this our second podcast, but it is actually only our second actual podcast. It's probably our... I don't even want to do the math. We've been doing a radio show for over 10 years together. We've been working together on a lot of things. We used to run similar computer businesses. Rick still runs a computer business here in Grand Junction, Colorado. And so we know our stuff when it comes to computers. Our shtick, if you please, is to break computers and technology and all that information down to a level that we can all understand it, to talk about it in common layman's terms. And if you don't understand what layman's terms are, we'll break that down into layman's terms. And that means that it's terminology that you can understand without having to be an expert in the field of that which we are
linguistics
discussing.
You don't have to go subscribe to Hot for Words in order to understand what we're talking about.
Not at all, although we still recommend it. It's a fine podcast, fine video to watch. So that's it. And we talk about technology news, technology information, as well as tips and email.
Neither one of us
are
programmers. We should qualify that. There's many different experts in computers.
Exactly.
And Adam and I are both... I think I can. That we both love to use computers as tools to get other things finished, completed. And so we know from our experience in our businesses that that's what most people want to do. is they want to use their computer as a tool to get something done.
Yeah.
They don't want to become security experts. They don't want to really care how the computer works and what RAM is. You can talk to a person. I've explained millions of times the difference between RAM and a hard drive, and people's eyes still glaze over.
Exactly.
And they don't care. The bottom line is they don't care.
Right.
And when you get people with some older Acer computers or Sony computers who have the split hard drives, remember those?
What in the world?
It just gets under my craw thinking about it. But people
and
always
think the C drive the smaller of the two partitions.
And but then the user says, "Well, how come when it gets full, it just doesn't automatically overflow to the other one?" Which you know, which is a legitimate. You think
absolutely
that would be something if they're going to split the hard drive. That'd be kind of an interesting a thing to do, is to be able to spill that over
or make it so it installs programs into the other partition
automatically.
I don't know. Anyway, but yes, if you've had these kind of problems, we're not going to tell you how to overclock. Yeah, we won't tell you how to overclock your iPhone or your CPU on your desktop computer, but we might be able to tell you how to shop for a laptop. Or
I will say
it will help you compare smartphones. I mean, we do all sorts of stuff like that.
Well, and I will say, speaking of overclocking your iPhone, that you can jailbreak your iPhone if you have an old iPhone.
Yes.
And you're looking to sell your old iPhone so you can buy a new one, you can probably more than fund the cost of a new iPhone if you jailbreak your old iPhone and sell it on eBay.
And despite the name jailbreak, it's not illegal. It's not going to get you
in trouble.
In fact,
there was a ruling recently that said that it's not illegal.
Right.
And what jailbreak means basically
is... it might void your warranty, but it's not going to be illegal. And most of those old phones aren't even under warranty anyway.
So right. You're good to go. There's only a year warranty.
Right.
But what... what jailbreak does basically is release you from the shackles of both Apple and AT&T. In a nutshell, that's what it does. You can continue to use all of the Apple paid applications that are through their normal channels, but you open up a whole new avenue of getting applications similar to the Android marketplace called Cydia, C-Y-D-I-A, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And that's the open source, if you will, applications made for the iPhone.
Right.
And there's a lot of things out there. One that I keep playing around with on whether I should jailbreak mine again, or for me, I never jailbroke it and used it.
Right.
But I think it's just unconscionable that there's no application that you can use on the iPhone to project it on a projector.
Yeah.
So they have it for jailbreak. You can get a little tool where you can actually project your iPhone up. So when you're giving classes.
Yeah.
I mean, you think they'd want people to teach other people how to use the iPhone.
How is that true? Because they have it for the iPad, don't they?
I don't know.
I think so, because at least somebody was telling me the other day that they went to a conference.
Okay.
And again, it could have been, this is secondhand information, so I could be wrong, but they went to a conference and they said all the presenters were using iPads instead of laptops, and they were hooking them up to the projector and showing them up on the screen.
Now, they could have been using the, what's the Apple version of PowerPoint?
Yeah, the Keynote.
Keynote. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They could have been using something that was Keynote and wireless. I don't know.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Interesting.
Can you do a quick search on that?
Yeah,
or
if
anybody knows that answer that's listening, call us up at 1-800-I-KNOW-MY-MAC.
I don't know how they're going to listen.
It was a joke.
Oh, okay.
1-800. No, I know my Mac.
I just wanted to make sure that, because I thought about that for a second. And I thought, wonder if we can do that. No.
Take another shot of your espresso. No, I would love that, because I'd love to do some iPhone classes, because you don't know how many people I see using smartphones of all types that really have no clue what it's capable of. And I just purchased an application for myself. I kind of splurged $299 because I've seen on the Android the Google Sky, where you can point your phone up to the sky and see all the stars and identify or find stars and things like that. So I bought that one for myself, called Starwalk, the highest rated one. In fact, it was the app of the year in 2009, and it's pretty cool. I didn't get to use it last night because it was storming and raining here in Grand Junction, Colorado, but I hope to use it here soon. So Adam's searching for
I'm looking here, and...
there is no cable, I'll guarantee you that.
You're sure?
For the iPhone, I know.
Okay.
For the iPad, I'm not sure.
Okay, maybe that's what it was.
I think it would almost have to be a wireless thing, Adam.
Okay, wow.
Because apparently from everything I've seen, what Steve Jobs does at the big conferences is they have a proprietary, some kind of a link where he's holding what he's doing and projecting it on the screen.
So the one that's called the Apple iPhone audio video cable.
That's what everybody thinks might work, but it does not.
It doesn't. Okay, so you've checked that out.
Well, you know what it does do, Adam? What it will do is if you want to watch a movie from your iPhone.
Wow, what's the difference? It only feeds movies out?
Yeah.
Oh,
it doesn't feed the screen for presenters.
What a joke.
Yeah. So that's what that does.
Interesting.
And
yeah,
maybe that's what works with Keynote on the iPad. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay, now Adam is a bargain hunter. I got to ask Adam a question here live on the radio. And again,
I'll do my best.
Live here in the podcast.
Okay.
There's a couple of these systems out there now where you join, like it's called, this one I think is called UBID.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Uh-huh.
Where you pay 50 cents per bid.
Yes.
And then
there's another one too, but yeah.
Have you seen those?
Yes, I have.
What do you think? What's your thoughts?
I think that they are...
I'm nervous about that.
Here's what I think. I think that, well, there's a couple of them that are legitimate. UBID isn't the name of it. There's another one.
There's one that claims that they use...
It's all over the place.
They use law enforcement... seizures,
right,
for their auctions.
Yeah, you know, for the most part, I don't know that I'd be afraid of it. I would want to research which one I'm going to. The problem is, they make all their money from bidders because you pay per bid. The other thing too is that there's no set end to the bid time. So instead of being like eBay where they say,
oh, there's not,
yeah, instead, well, there is, but here's how it works. They say, okay, we're going to end this thing in 5 days.
Hmm.
But if you bid in the last few seconds, it extends the bidding for another, I forget what it is, 10 minutes or something like that. So every time you bid, it extends the bidding towards the end. Once it gets down to the last hour or the last few
minutes. Well, which makes sense that they'd want to try to push it as much as they can.
So it extends the bidding. And so every time you pay to bid, it extends the bidding.
I forgot the one. Well, in fact, it might be in my email. The one that I almost pulled the trigger on yesterday was because they were talking about the fact that you could get a lot of... No, see, I already deleted the email because I just thought it was goofy. There was a lot of people who said that they were getting MacBooks for a very, very inexpensive price, $200-$300.
Right.
And then a couple claims that you could get new cars. One lady got a Honda Accord for... like a 2009 Honda Accord with basically no miles on it for $2,000 or $3,000.
Right. But I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think that was in their advertising.
Yes.
I believe
Well, it says it on the website. It's advertising.
See, that's what I mean. It's advertising. And eBay used to do the same thing. eBay used to promote it the same way. So it is, you know, you see that a lot. And I totally believe that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But they used that rare occurrence...
To make it sound like it happens all the time.
If it happened all the time, nobody would actually sell anything there. So they have to also go to the vendors and say, look, this was a rare exception. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was a plant. Not that the person was a plant, but that maybe they put the Honda...
Accord.
You know, as far as advertising, they got Honda to advertise with them or something like that. And they put the Honda under flowers just to see if people would, you know, and then they
ended
up going for $2,000 or $3,000 because nobody was able to find it, you know, something like that.
I don't know. But it's $159 to join it.
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, this is $159.
Oh, okay.
But what that does is give you credit for 300 or whatever the math turns out to be. I think it's 300 bids.
I gotcha.
And then you start going per bid.
Interesting.
So if you're not putting in... Again,
is $159 a year or just to get into it?
I think it's just to get into it, to get your initial bidding. So I figured, well, if I could get a MacBook Pro...
Yeah.
You know, with 4 gigs of RAM.
Right.
And, you know, a good, you know, newer MacBook
that
Pro.
That sounds to me more like a racket. I think anything you have to buy into... is there's exceptions. I'm not talking about membership programs because of course there's what is the Amazon one, the Amazon premium or something like that. You know, there are things like that to where it gives you free shipping and it gives you all sorts of stuff. So that's not what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to just having to buy in just to use the service at all, that's a little scary to me, and that's always a red flag.
Exactly, and that's why I pulled out, because it's, you know, it's one of those things that you, we always tell everyone else, if it's too good to be true, it is.
It sounds to me like a pyramid scheme. That's really what, well, it does. Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me, is that there's something else going on there besides just selling stuff on an auction. So, yeah.
Now, speaking of too good to be true, you wrote something yesterday on your status on Facebook.
Yes.
About Facebook viruses.
Yes.
Can you explain that? Do you have something come up?
Oh, yeah. It was actually an old friend of mine. She, I noticed that she kept, she all of a sudden, she started sending me watch this video links on Facebook.
Oh.
And last week, or maybe it was a week or so ago, she had sent a bunch of emails that were the same thing. And we found out that she'd recently been to China. While she'd been to China, she hooked her laptop into a into a Wi-Fi network there or something. And she'd been hacked into or something. Anyway, she had a virus on her laptop she didn't know she had, and it was taking over her social media accounts and her email and everything, and sending out emails to everybody in there. Even her, or it was online email.
Now you didn't click any of these.
No, I didn't click any of them. But when I saw that, I thought, you know, this is what people need to know.
Right.
Because it very likely, it could happen to me. There's no reason it couldn't happen to me. I could fall for something like that if it
was
looks legitimate enough.
Right.
Yeah. And so I just posted a little status on how to get rid of Facebook viruses and social media viruses.
How to avoid them.
How to avoid them.
Now, I found the auction site, swipeauctions.com. So you'll have to check that out and see what you think. But it's and it will have a video, so if you have your microphones on, if you have your
oh yeah, this is.
Have you seen this one?
I haven't seen this one, but this looks like the legitimate sites that I've seen.
Okay.
But this over here kind of scares me a little bit. The there over at the left, it looks like a link farm over here. I don't know. Maybe that's just their bad formatting of their website. But no, I don't know. I'm worried about that one. But you know, you never know. You never know, but this does look like some of the other sites I've seen that are legitimate.
Is it UBID? Is that the one that's...
No, UBID is kind of like eBay.
Oh, okay.
But UBID's
I've seen
legitimate.
Some of these countdown sites, but I forgot what they
UBID
were.
UBID is a spammer. They send out a lot of not spam like we'd think, but they put advertising all over in places you don't want to see it and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, maybe that's why it comes in the front of my forefront so much.
But yeah, this is. I would be cautious about this.
It has its swipe auctions guarantee at the bottom.
It does, and it does have all these people. Here's the other thing, is it has trophies on it, and it has all these people holding up the stuff that they bought, and they're all happy.
And they're smiling, yes.
Yeah, and it has lots of star sparkles in the background. That's like
pretty,
they're
that's
dazzling. And yeah.
They have live chat at the bottom.
Yeah,
and a FedEx logo.
Here's my rule. It's just like my rule. Never join an MLM company unless they can show you a picture of the founder standing next to a mansion in a fancy car and a boat, if possible. if they can do that, then you know it's a legitimate multi-level marketing company, because you know who would fake that, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
Never.
Because they never, there's very few
and
that
the
will
founder,
show that picture.
Here's the other requirement. The founder has to have been just like you at one point.
That's right.
Or less. He'd lost all his money.
And they usually have a trophy wife.
Yeah.
That's usually with a nightgown and a nightgown sitting
kind
on the boat.
Kind of, but she usually is.
Sometimes weathered.
Yeah. borderline trophy wife, TBN minister sort of.
Lots of makeup.
Yeah.
Lots of makeup.
Yeah, exactly. They look like they're from Texas, you know. Big hair. And
oh, that's funny.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm not going to go anywhere past that one. Okay, so that's enough on multi-level marketing for today on a technology show. But it was kind of all weaved together with the bidding going on there.
Yeah.
All right, what else is new this week besides Google's? Well, we didn't talk about it yet.
Let's talk about it. We haven't
mentioned
it yet.
Google Instant Search.
Yeah, Google Instant Search.
I had Google a client now. Who freaked out the other day because the Google logo was doing that Java great, bouncing around.
I love that. In fact, people were saying, you know, the other day that, you know, that
what is it?
That has to account for more, almost as much wasted time as the Pac-Man thing that they did. Maybe not quite as much.
Pac-Man was addictive.
I don't know. I found the Google one fascinating. Pac-Man, I've played Pac-Man before. Right. I wasn't really that worried about it, but I can play Pac-Man on a much larger screen, and but the Google logos, little particles when you hover your mouse over the old Google logo, you can find it on the internet. Hover your mouse over the old Google logo, and it would just kind of bounce around and avoid your mouse.
And that's old JavaScript that's been around for years.
Yeah, I think one of the things though is somebody was saying that it wasn't written in JavaScript, that it wasn't written in a different code, and so a lot of people were speculating that Google was going to make some announcement about being compliant with new.
It was very distracting.
HTML5 and stuff like that. Oh yeah, but who knows? But anyway, but yeah, now Google Instant.
I miss out on some of those because of the iGoogle page.
Yes,
I wish that iGoogle would incorporate their custom logos in the iGoogle.
Right.
Page.
I was at a friend's house when I noticed it too. Mm-hmm. And I was going crazy trying to figure out why it was doing it. I didn't realize that Google hadn't answered it, you know, because usually they put somewhere on the page.
Yeah. Usually you can click
why they're doing that.
Right.
So I wasted a little bit of time trying to figure that one out before I realized that nobody had figured it out.
It was a secret.
Yes. But the, anyway, Google Instant.
Only Sergey knew.
That's Sergey. And yeah. Oh, yeah. The Google Instant, I think, is a false name for it. I think Google, I don't know what you'd call it, Instant Results or something like that.
Well, interesting, because you thought, or your idea taking it one more level was you would like to see it do a live current search of Twitter streams and Facebook streams.
I think with the internet the way it is, if you're going to call something instant, mm-hmm. if you're going to call it, you know, yeah, if you're going to call it instant, it should be current.
Right.
I don't see a point in having it instant search if I'm still going to see the same results as I did before. I want it
just
to include...
Just a hair faster.
Right. Yeah. I want it to include... I think it's a glorified autofill right now. Mm-hmm. It should include Twitter and Facebook and all the things and what people are talking about. When I type in Denver Fire... or whatever they're calling that fire right now, 4 Mile Fire or whatever they're calling it.
Boulder
Fire, whatever. When I type that in, I want it to not give me the headline from 2 days ago when that was, you know, the thing that's kind of gradually floated to the top of Google.
Right.
I want it to tell me what's going on right now.
Is there smoke in my yard?
Yeah, do a Google News search, throw those results. If not up at the top, then over at a sidebar so I know what the instant results are.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. Bing does it.
Speaking of, does Bing do live?
Bing does it. Live, Bing does it, and they make it very prominent.
So I just don't use Bing. I need to ask you also, as a photo guy, Adam's doing a live Bing search. They've got an aardvark, a real prehistoric looking aardvark.
Yeah, I don't like Bing's main page, but...
Now, where's your Twitter?
Now, let's see. There's blogs. I thought they
don't
had
do
a
it.
Section... There's news, blogs, videos, huh?
Boy, in Boulder Fire, you think it would be there for sure.
Yep, I guess I'm wrong. I lied.
Do Thursday Night Football. That's big tonight. That's the opening NFL, Thursday Night Football. See, it's giving you the autofill, but man, nothing on Twitter.
Nope.
This still takes me to news.
Well, first of all,
you can do that on Google.
Does it show it up at the top?
I don't know if it's at the top, but it's still not. I think that you just sent Microsoft stock up, and then you tanked it.
I'm sorry.
All in the span of 60 seconds.
Yep. I'm still surprised because I know I saw it there before when they first announced.
You were dreaming about it because you're hoping that somebody will do it.
No. No, that was the big deal when Bing came out, is that they included Google and Twitter and all those things, and I remember it having a section. Oh, well, I'm wrong.
Okay, but now that you brought Bing up...
radio.
we're showing things on the screen that nobody can see.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bing versus Google.
Yes.
Ever since the internet first came out, there used to be a project... back in 1995, 96 from one, I believe it was a university. If it wasn't in Utah, it was in Idaho. I forget exactly where it was, but it was the first, attempt to be able to search the images on the web.
Right.
And it was a very cool thing because it was so unique at the time.
Uh-huh.
Well, since then, that's become pretty standard of all search engines.
Sure.
And Google has since changed their search, their image search, to kind of compete more with the way Bing does theirs.
Right.
What's your thoughts?
I like it. I like what they do. I like it that it brings the picture up in a viewable window without...
And the more you scroll, the more you see.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. I'm really happy with it. I haven't found any...
I always wish they had a little space like Bing does in between the images.
Right.
Because it's a little bit crowded.
It is. It looks kind of like a slideshow or... Yeah.
But I do like that they now have made available for folks who haven't really delved into it, the advanced search features in the left-hand side.
Yes.
So you can sort by black and white... Photos now, only, clip art.
I saw that Google had brought that in, but then I saw it one time that they'd hidden it again.
Have they added it back in? It's pretty well. It's pretty prominent over there now, so it's kind of nice.
Okay. Yeah, so all right. Okay. No, that was with the new Google revision that they did a couple weeks ago.
Well, interestingly enough, yeah. Now that you brought with fire trucks up, they do have space between all the photos.
What do you know?
That's kind of interesting.
Hmm. So every time we complain about something, Google's already fixed it. That's what we found. It's already changed.
They know what we're doing. It's instant.
Yeah, it's instant. They're listening to this podcast, which isn't being aired live right now.
Which isn't posted.
Stuff.
That's scary.
Incredible. Yep. Absolutely. Now, here's something kind of funny.
Okay.
This has nothing to do. Actually, let's go to tips and stuff. Do you have anything going on that you want to talk about as far as things going on right now that you think
I gave away a computer yesterday.
That's right, you did.
It had Linux Mint on it, and that was kind of fun.
Was it?
Yeah, that
good. Was fun. I haven't used Mint.
Yeah, it's basically just Ubuntu without you having to put in all the extras.
Oh, good.
So you don't have to put Flash, you don't have to put Java, because Ubuntu, to stay really legit, open source, common, what do they call it? Common.
Yeah, open source.
But what's the commons?
Creative Commons.
Yeah,
right.
to truly be that.
Yeah.
They can't put any of the non-free stuff in there from Sun, Flash.
Right.
But Linux Mint does. So it's real nice. And they, unlike the Ubuntu, they get rid of the two toolbars, you know, the two status bars.
Yep.
And or panels, as they're called in Linux. And they make just a single one at the bottom that looks much like a Windows start menu.
Oh, okay.
So it's a really nice transition for somebody coming from Windows into Linux because it's much more familiar.
So the topic for your meeting yesterday, Rick heads up a local computer user group for beginning and basic computer users. And so you talked about Linux yesterday or Ubuntu?
The title of my talk was Linux Can Work For You.
Oh, good.
How you like that?
That's great. That's great.
So, yeah, that's what it was. Well, I do have some emails I haven't looked at yet, Adam. So, since you brought it up.
Yeah, I just figured before we go into more news.
Here's a Mac OS X question from Maudy in Louisiana. And Maudy says, my Mac won't let me post pictures from the web or from my iPictures, I'm sure she's saying iPhoto, to my blog. I didn't have this problem with the PC. And thanks for the email pick attachment advice. I couldn't figure out how to do that either. Because she apparently is using iPhoto. And so she's having trouble figuring out what it sounds like to me is a new Mac user. To me, iPhoto is not as intuitive. Because iPhoto, when you are browsing for something, did you want to attach to an email or like she wants to upload to a blog, the photo is in your iPhoto library, but the actual file is in kind of almost a hidden little hierarchy in the Mac.
It's really screwy.
Yeah.
It's really screwy the way they handle the pictures.
The best thing to tell her is that when she's browsing to insert a picture, don't go to your iPhoto library. Go into your folder structure and you look for a folder called, Adam, can you pull it up? Is it the pictures? Folder? Or?
Well, you have a folder called pictures on your computer, which is most likely where they are. But, yeah, so you have photos.
Well, so, go to your finder.
But here's what I'm wondering. You can right-click on a picture.
Can you do that like in Picasso? You're thinking Picasso.
I am thinking Picasso.
Yeah.
We should just tell him, get Picasso.
That's my answer. I've tried to use iPhoto, but I'm so Picasso-oriented right now.
Well, that's because Picasso is made for humans that know how to use, you know, they're just basic computer users.
I think iPhoto's nice. It's got some niceties to it, but...
Yeah, but
hides some of the things it does. You should know.
It does a typical Apple thing where it says you don't need to know that.
Yeah,
you don't need to know that. That's we do it for you.
Okay, and, head Finder real fast for me.
Since
we're on the air here, head to Finder. Go to Finder.
Okay, is that what you're talking about?
When no, you Finder, Finder. Finder.
Your
go down to your toolbar.
Jeez,
Finder's your little blue guy. Your little blue guy. Go on your dock.
I usually do Command F. Okay.
There you go.
You mean this guy right here.
Yeah, Finder.
In the Finder, yes. Yeah. I call that Explorer.
Steve Jobs just had another heart attack.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
Go into your photos. Go into your photos.
Okay. So I'm going into, which is called Pictures on a Mac.
Pictures, okay.
Okay.
And now scroll through there.
I got tons of stuff on there. I mean, that's where all my pictures are.
Okay.
So,
see,
that's going to be very helpful.
Well, because I know that when you go into your username, when you're in Finder on a Mac, or Explore, as Adam calls it.
Yes.
You go into your username under Finder.
Oh, here we go.
Did you find it?
No.
That's just a location.
Gosh darn it. What are they thinking?
How about under File? If you go to File, is anything under File?
Up here?
Yeah.
Is that file? Okay.
Yeah, does it give you any file information?
What the heck? Import to library, export photos of view. What in the world? I know that there's got to be Mac people out there. Well, not now. Now they're probably gone.
They're calling that number 1-800, I know my Mac.
That's it.
And it's not Explore.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, but if you're using iPhoto on a Mac and you go to your username in a Finder window, which is the little blue square guy for those of you and Adam, you go in and find into your pictures, you're going to see another folder that says iPhoto Library. Now, that's going to show you some of your photos, but those really aren't your photos. You need to find another folder that says, I believe it says images, or it says data, or something to that effect. And I can't think it off the top of my head, but for Modi, that's what you need to do, and that's what you need to attach. Or use Adam's other advice and just get Picasa.
Yeah.
And
Picasa,
that will work better.
Picasa.com is a free program. It works on PC, Mac, and Linux. And it does everything iPhoto does and much, much more.
Interestingly enough, I have a second Mac OS X question.
Cool. Okay.
This is from Pat.
This one we can actually answer.
This is from Pat in Spruce Pine, North Carolina.
Okay.
I just got a new Mac. Oh, two new Mac users. And when I try to open a PDF file, I get a message that Adobe Reader is not supported by this type of Mac. I tried to download Foxit Reader, but it's an EXE and won't work on a Mac.
Yep.
How can I open PDF? You don't need anything because Mac comes with a program called Preview.
Right.
And the Preview opens PDFs.
The way to do that on a Mac is a little bit screwy. It doesn't have as simple of a place as Windows does to tell it which files to open with which program. So what you'll do is go find any PDF file and right-click on it and go to Get Info. Once you go into Get Info, you'll see a place in there where you can select the default application to open that type of file. And you also have a little checkbox, just like you do on the PC, that says always, something to the effect of always use this program to open the file. So you're just going to choose the preview program to open your PDFs, and that's a good way to go.
So Foxit doesn't make a PDF version, I guess.
Man, Foxit doesn't make a Mac version. I mean a Mac version. Yeah, I would love that. It would be wonderful. The Adobe Reader for Mac is horrible.
Is it?
Really, really bad. Really bad. But
and Robert is right, or I forget the gentleman's name, yeah. I deleted it, but you can't run EXE files on a
Mac.
Nope.
You need those to are made
DMGs,
for PC. Yep.
DMG files. Well, we might as well just do this. Let's make this our email section.
Okay.
We only have two more.
Sure, go for it.
This one's from Robert in our good old hometown of Grand Junction, and apparently Robert does not listen to us very often because his question is, now by me just prefacing. Thank you. I was going to say preferencing.
Okay.
Prefacing that email that he doesn't listen to us very often. You might be able to guess, Adam, what he's asking.
Okay.
Because he's asking about do you recommend blank or is that a flim flam? So, what do you think he might be asking about?
Oh, you know what? I have no idea what that would be.
Yeah, I bet you can guess. What he's thinking.
The registry.
That's right.
Registry cleaning software.
He's thinking about registry. So he obviously has not heard us talk about it before.
No. Registry mechanic, registry cleaner, registry booster.
Speed up my PC from TV.
Oh, my gosh. Do you have people using that?
Oh,
you
Adam.
Do, huh?
Well,
DoubleMySpeed.com.
Luckily, don't even say this. But luckily, a lot of people call me before they actually do it.
Good.
But no, the answer is we do not recommend them. They do not work. We do not need them.
Exactly. We don't recommend them because, well, first, like you said, they don't work.
Right.
Another reason is they make things worse in many cases. You'll have to go to quadruple my speed because double my speed slowed you down twice as much as you were before you tried to double your speed.
And triple my money of what I paid for that one because now I need somebody who knows what they're doing to
If you want to know how to speed up your PC, go to helpmerick.com. And this isn't a commercial for helpmerick.com. This is because it's where we put the answers that we find work. But helpmerick.com and look up tips for tuning up your PC, look for
maintenance,
you know, type in those words into the search and you'll find everything you need to know. And it's all easy to do. And it's something that you won't have to do every week.
It's free.
You don't have to defrag. don't defrag. There's no reason to. Anyway, but yeah, don't need any utilities to make your computer run faster.
Last question is from Krishna and Krishna is from Vizog. I think they're making that up. I don't know.
That's okay. I'm cool with that. Sure.
And they said how to download the free version of Avira Premium. So that is an oxymoron because Avira is another nice antivirus program for Windows.
Right.
And they have a free version. They have a premium version.
Sure.
So there is no free version of the premium version.
Right.
You have to pay to get the premium. They do have an Avira free, which works just fine,
except
for it has a pop-up ad about twice a day.
Right.
But it's actually a great little small utility. Sure. Although I've switched on most people's newer computers, newer Windows XP, and for sure all of Vista and Windows 7, I'm using the Security Essentials from Microsoft.
Right. And I've found that really does work. As far as being able to catch the most stuff, it just seems to work.
Stays out of the way pretty well.
Yeah, it does.
On older XP machines, I have found it to be slow downloading.
I've noticed that too.
Yeah.
But there's really, if you're going to run antivirus on an old XP machine with 512 or 1 gig of RAM, there's not an antivirus out there that's not going to slow it down considerably. I don't know of one that's out there. I mean, I think it's impossible to really do it that way. So.
Right, I agree.
Anyway.
All right, well, we have a few more minutes left in the program, and what else have we not hit on today?
Well,
we kind of were all over the board
here.
Today,
one thing I think is kind of funny is Murdoch is discovering that a paywall model doesn't work. Delisting Wall Street Journal from Google and then just having a paywall is where you charge people to read your site.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing readership. It's pretty amazing.
Well, they tried it one time way back.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, and then was it yesterday or 2 days ago? I mean, they've had a couple people from WallStreetJournal.com, the Wall Street Journal digital head of digital operations or whatever, resigned.
Oh, wow.
So I think there's some tumult
strife
going on there at Wall Street Journal. Poor Murdoch is having some problems there, but that may just be my reading into it. But I thought that was kind of interesting that people,
how are iPad, like the Wired, you have your Wired magazine over here to my right, and they were one of the first companies to come out with an iPad version of Wired.
Right.
And I think it's like $4.99 an issue or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's not any cheaper than
the costs are too high for digital content. I really don't understand why something is only, you know, like this. It you may be paying cover price. You subscribe to it, you may pay a little bit less. But there, when you're not dealing with print issues or anything like that, and all you're doing is taking your PDF and converting it, well, you know,
well, but in the
to some degree.
Well, the iPad version of the Wired,
right?
They are implanting their videos. There's more interactivity.
Right.
They are trying to make it more of a interactive
appearance. But as far as the overhead costs, do you think that handful of programmers that it takes to create a digital version costs as much as the paper that it takes to print?
There was something I believe, in this month's Wired magazine that was talking about digital content, digital books, you know, digital books, where the books are, and there was a whole discussion that I read about when you bring a book, like say a Stephen King book,
right,
from paper to digital and put it on a Kindle or put it on an e-reader. Why is it still, both of us, too early in the morning. We both why are they both similar in price? And the argument was, is it because they don't want to devalue the book version, the paper version?
Oh, sure.
That was one of the options.
Yeah.
The second thing they said was it does seem kind of natural to think that it'd be easy to digitize and just throw up a digital copy. But they said in order to make it searchable, that doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't, that's easy. Because a PDF is searchable.
But apparently there was some reasons that they said it, that there is cost involved.
Well, there is, but the thing is, if I'm an author and I have a PDF file, I can send that PDF file into Amazon.com, have it listed on the Amazon store and all of that for a whole lot less than what it cost. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it's the fact that they can get it up in a day or so tells me that it's a lot easier than it is of printing a book.
Right.
I just don't understand. I mean, I can understand they're worried that it'll devalue the books, but I don't see why they're worried about that. Because if you could put a digital copy out there, I think more than anything, I think they're concerned about piracy. I think they're worried that somebody's going to hack their system or find some.
Which hasn't happened yet.
Well, there is, but the thing is people are willing to pay for to own something.
Well, and I think it's kind of back to the music, don't you think?
Yeah.
Where music kind of started the same way, where they resisted the digital, the digital digitalization, of their content.
Yeah, and I think music's a different thing. I think music is going to be difficult because you're dealing with 3 minute entertainment, and paying $1 for 3 minutes worth of entertainment that you don't want to use over and over again because it'll wear, you know. You get tired of it or whatever. I think that's different. I think a 2-hour movie is worth a little bit more, and a book is worth a lot more because it takes you through it and you can, you know, you have an experience with it.
It's more than 3 minutes.
You might go back and refer to it and stuff like that. So I think the content changes and its value changes. To me, a song, I have a hard time buying any music still digitally because I don't have anything that's worth $1 for 3 minutes of my time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just isn't. There's nothing.
That's not value.
I don't get that much
you.
Entertainment. I get 25 cents worth of entertainment out of it, and I would probably buy $100 or $200 or $300 worth of music a year if they were 25 cents a song.
Well, but at the same time, with radio stations,
right?
Radio stations, they even built in FM to the new iPhone, the new iPad,
and Pandora,
iPod Touch, and Pandora, and those kinds of services. I'm like you. I don't need to buy music.
Yeah.
Because I'm also not what I would consider an audiophile.
Well, no.
There are plenty of those people out there that
I think there's a huge difference between the people who are the audiophiles and then there's
the book files.
And then there's the people like us. So I could be just fine without any music. If it meant I had to pay for every song I listened to, I would not listen to music. But then there's the people in the middle who get some enjoyment out of the background music. And I think those people would be on my side too, to say it's not worth $1 a song for me to have something playing in the background while I'm doing my housework.
Right.
I just think that
I agree with you. I mean, I think it's, to me, I think it's a little bit overvalued. Back to the books, though.
Yes.
Back to books and magazines and digitizing, like you said, Wall Street Journal, the Wired magazine onto an iPad or any other device. Samsung is coming out with their iPad competition this month, right? Didn't they announce it's going to be for sale this month?
Yeah.
From Verizon, though.
Yeah, I think Samsung's kind of shooting themselves in the foot. It's good that they're doing it on Verizon because that is the largest network that's got the largest potential base of customers other than releasing a GSM version that would go worldwide. But I guess they need to release a non-GSM or a Wi-Fi model. Mm-hmm. Then I can kind of see it working, but releasing it through the cell phone vendor.
Yeah.
I mean, all the 3G, all the iPads, even Sony has a 3G.
They're following it, the netbook model that they're doing right now a lot with netbooks, where they're giving those to the cell phone vendors and giving them to you for nothing or very cheap.
Exactly. And then you're paying $60 a month to use it. And it's just not worth it for most people.
There's another cost thing where I think that they're still doing things the wrong way with cell phones and cell phone data.
Right.
Where they want people to buy these big, heavy-duty cell phone plans and data plans. But I think in the long run, if they lowered the price and made it a better value, it would more than make up for it in terms of volume.
Right, right. The difference is, though, with that is... To take their side a little bit, once you've sold somebody internet or cell phone service, you're going to upsell them maybe, but you're not going to sell it to them again. You know, you've got them into a contract, they're paying that. So you've lost any potential for that customer. As soon as you've sold it to them, they're a customer and you can't expand that at all. You have to go find another customer.
Well, what I'm saying is though, if I have one customer that's willing to pay $60 a month for data, let's just throw that out there for like we talked about.
I probably have four that are willing to pay $30 a month.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
No, I think you're right. I think
it's almost the Walmart model. If I have, if Safeway is willing to buy or sell a can of beans for $1.19, they're going to have 10 people that want to buy it at $1.19. But if Walmart has it for 79 cents, they're going to have 100 people buy it at that.
Exactly.
And if they're only making 10 cents versus Safeway's only making 30 cents per can, they're going to more than make up for the volume.
I mean, that's, I agree with that. I agree with that system of economics of, still making a small profit over a large quantity of goods versus making a large profit on a few, a lower quantity of goods. So.
But who knows? I still think it's all so new. We're still so new. And I think people forget that. We are just really into the second half of the second decade, so really 15, 16 years, that the internet has really been out there.
Yeah.
That is not that long.
No.
If you think about the telephone's been around 120 years or roughly.
Well, and if you compare technologies like that, we've moved from the bicycle to the airplane in a matter of 4 or 5 years with the internet, and we've done that now three, four times.
Right.
And so the internet as it is today is totally different from what it began as. It's drastically different from anything anybody even perceived. You can go back to 5 years ago and things that are, the fact that I can do Ustream from my cell phone, I can show live video feed through my cell phone. That's beyond, Arthur C. Clarke technology that we're talking about there. It's just incredible, and it's something that he visualized happening, years and years later. So,
and we're still, I think, at the very tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
I really cannot imagine where we're going to be in another 15 years.
No, I went to a robotics conference a few weeks ago, and it was a UAV conference on manned vehicles, and Yes, I got you. I didn't realize. Anyway, I'm at a vehicles conference, and it was the same way. And they have inkjet printers now that create 3D things and made out of metal and all these things.
Oh, that's just amazing. That's very cool.
Futuristic technology from what we would visualize.
And it puts to shame what we used to see at Comdex, where they had where you could put in and it would carve you don't have any on your walls here, but I know you have some those wooden.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wooden awards and things like that. Remember, what was that thing called?
Laser printer or something like that. It was just a printer.
But it was 2D.
Stuff. Yeah.
It basically etched things.
And everybody was amazed at it.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
But now they have 3D rendering that you can buy for your desktop.
You buy aluminum powder and put it in there and it creates a 3D model of whatever you want. And it can be intricate stuff. This stuff isn't, you know, solid shapes. It's
so
it's
now really if you're a if you're an inventor or a creator of some kind of anything, yeah. you don't have to send out your plans to a modeling company. You can do it right there in the office, right.
Or you don't have to pay to have it all done. I mean, there's pay to have it done by some guy who etches it out of wood or styrofoam. Now you can have it made exactly as you designed it. So
that's absolutely.
Well, we're running low on time. You have you probably have stuff to do today.
I've got a day to get going, but I think We flow. We just always have things to talk about.
Before we go,
chat.
Just give me this, and we'll talk more about it next show. But the iPhone 4 update, the 4. What do they call it?
4.1.
Mm-hmm. Thumbs up or thumbs down so far? We're a day into it.
I'm only a day into it. It's a huge download. That's one thing I just don't understand. But it's like a 780 meg download.
Wow.
So it's. If you're on dial-up and you're using an iPhone, I know you're not using an iPhone if you're a dial-up user. But I did take a client this week. I'd take her to a gas station to get on Wi-Fi because she was using dial-up. And it was just pathetic. So I finally closed her laptop. I said, I need to go to the gas station because it was near where her house was. Uh-huh. It was a little convenience store that had free Wi-Fi. And I said, you're welcome to come with me. And so she got in the car with me. And so we went down there and set at the convenience store.
Well, good. Then she was able to see the difference in the speeds.
It's unbelievable.
Say, look, it's going to take 6 hours here. It'll take 20 minutes here. You,
exactly.
You do the comparison. Yeah.
But anyway, iPhone 4.1. I like the iPhone 4. The camera is stunning. I love the camera. I love the video. Mm-hmm. And so I'm real excited about that. And so they came out with the HDR.
Right.
Adam and I did a little experiment here in his office. It didn't come out so good here in his office. I don't know why.
No.
But I like that. The couple of tests I did yesterday with the HDR, it came out really nice. It did a nice job of evening out lighting and that kind of thing. They have a goofy thing in there called the Game Center.
Uh-huh.
We can talk about that next week.
Again. Yeah, we'll cover it next time. I just wanted to know what your general feelings were.
But overall, it's good. I mean, I think it works fine.
It's more iPhone.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing that was in there that's so earth-shattering. To me, the earth-shattering one was the HDR.
Cool. Excellent.
All right. Well, Adam, I always like to do this at the end of the show. We didn't do it a lot at the beginning of the show. We kind of snuck it in there in the title. But Adam Cochran, his website is talkingdigital.org. And thusly, his Twitter is @talkingdigital.
That's right.
Makes it nice and easy.
Yep.
My website is helpmerick.com, and my Twitter is @helpmerick.
There you go.
Well, we've made that pretty easy for people.
Yeah, we try to simplify it.
We're trying to do this weekly. Next week, we have our live radio show.
Yep.
And that's on the Wednesday. Do we have a calendar handy? Let me see.
Yes, watch. Okay. It's Wednesday the 15th.
Okay, so next Wednesday the 15th, noon Mountain Time.
There will still be a podcast. It'll just be a little different podcast because we record it live as we do a community affairs technology show for the local community.
But you can be a part of this.
Yeah.
If it's from noon to 1 Mountain Time, you go to kafmradio.org during that noon time, and you can listen to us from anywhere on the planet if you have an internet connection. And you can call us on a phone number that is posted on that website and on our webpage that day. I always have the information there with a link to the stream. So we'd love to have you interact with us next Wednesday, the 15th, from noon to 1. And we'll post that up as our weekly podcast, that particular show.
Excellent. All okay. Right. Enjoy Instant Search, everybody. Nope, I think that's it. We're going to take off.
Have a great weekend.
Watch out for asteroids, all that stuff. So,
and we're glad you listened. And if you called 1-800, I know my Mac, we'll get those messages soon.
All right. So long, everybody.
This is a Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at talkingdigital.org.